Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What up? Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Your dynamic duo of nonsensical information. I'd say that definitely applies. Hey, did you know that you can have a chance to win two tickets to a 2018 World Series game? That's true. Go to dailyroto.com/DKMS and take a crack at playing free daily fantasy baseball. You can play every day. It's totally free, and the contests are sponsored by DKMS. They're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. Every 3 minutes in America, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Not in America. An American is diagnosed with blood cancer, and only 30% of all blood donor patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor in their family. It's wild. So go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. Find out how you can help eradicate blood cancer, and you're going to get to play free daily fantasy baseball with a shot at winning two tickets to the 2018 World Series, a game. That'd be pretty awesome. So go check that
out.
That'd
be great.
This is
the Diamondbacks are going to be in that.
Yeah, if they get Manny Machado, maybe not pacing out that the humidor. It's not your friend.
Yeah, well, and Pollock getting hurt and Goldie not hitting, so it's got to get better. The Welsh, the hitting's got to get better, but they're still first in the division. So,
I saw this story, and it's crazy to me. So, I'm not a big golf guy. I don't think either one of us are, Bogman. Nope. Even though we've actually talked about golf recently, but this just triggered something in me. It is incredible. So, there's this golfer. His name is Glover. What's his name? Logan
Glover Lang.
Lucas Glover.
Lucas Glover. Sounds like a golf name.
It does kind of sound like a golf name. His wife, Krista Glover, was arrested and charged with domestic battery and resisting arrest without violence on Saturday. And this was last Saturday in Florida. Is not permitted to have any contact with her.
No way in Florida?
I know, or shocker. No contact with her husband, PGA Tour player Lucas Glover, or be within 500 feet of the family's Florida home. This order was issued last Monday following Glover's arrest, which stemmed from an altercation with her husband and his mother. His mother's name is Hershey, by the way. That's odd. Officials in St. Jones County revealed the 911 call made by Krista Glover that led to her arrest. You heard that right. Krista Glover made the call. When the deputies called back, Lucas Glover answered. So what happened was Krista Glover called the cops and tried to say the mother-in-law beat her up. Then I guess and the phone got disconnected. They called back. Lucas Glover answered, and he says, "Yeah, hi. I think we got our lines crossed here. This is the husband, the sane one of the bunch," he said calmly. "My wife has called you. Now she's trying to blame it on my mother, which is not the case at all. My wife has gone crazy." So that's all kind of like a thing. According to this article, Glover told deputies that his wife began berating him for playing poorly at the Players Championship, where he missed the secondary cut on Saturday. Glover also said Krista had been drinking throughout the day. The initial call, Glover said she had been attacked by the mother-in-law, who had locked herself in a room. And when asked how she was attacked, Glover's wife hung up, and Glover answered when 911 called back. So that's kind of setting that up here. What is wild about it is Lucas Glover said that his wife does this all the time. That whenever he plays poorly, she berates him and like calls him a loser.
You know, I never thought that this was a thing until I watched Any Given Sunday. I don't know if you remember this part, but there's a part in Any Given Sunday where Dennis Quaid's character was talking about retirement, and his wife slapped the holy S out of him and said, "You're the GD quarterback of the Miami Sharks. You have two or three good years left in you. I am not going to sit here and listen to this BS." And I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Matriarchs. There's some matriarchs that are out there. And by the way, this woman looks exactly how you think she looks.
Well, she looks exactly like Cap's wife in Any Given Sunday. She looks like the exact same person.
That's what I'm telling you. Big beady eyes. I mean, she looks terrifying. And in the picture, you can tell she's drunk. But like this concept of this woman berating her husband when he plays poorly, calling him a loser, getting pissed drunk, picking fights. You have got to be kidding me. And it sparked in me to just say, I don't think this is the only one. There are some voices and some personalities that supersede the athlete, and it never does them any favors. And I guess it could go both ways, but I don't recall, you know, a female athlete that has a overbearing husband. Though, you know what is ironic, though? We will have the fantastic female athlete that has got the overbearing father. You know, parent that exists out there, like the Serena Williams and whatnot. But in this instance, there are some pretty, pretty brutal matriarchs in sports. And Bogman, you compiled some of the worst, which I think this Krista Glover goes near the top.
I mean, she probably has to. I don't remember any of these other people beating up their mother-in-laws.
There's one on here specifically that is the absolute worst.
Miko Grimes.
Miko Grimes is the one.
Speaking of Hard Knocks,
100% worst.
She's terrible, man. And just all the crazy stuff. I mean, she's put up anti-Semitic tweets. Like, she is just not a good human.
She is vulgar as all can be. She is the absolute worst. And I don't know if it's the reality TV culture. Like, does she play it up? Because, you know, because like there are plenty of people out there that just understand, like, well, I can get big being the villain. Like, people can embrace being the villain. And I guess there's a portion of it. But she is a real life villain.
Right. And she does it for attention for herself. There are plenty of wives that.
She's got a radio show, too.
And does she really?
Yeah, she absolutely. Oh. She has her own like full on radio program. I'm telling you,
how do they not find by the FCC every 11 seconds?
That's probably. Let me see, Miko Grimes radio.
But there are some wives that just either have an opinion or they'll call in to, defend their husband. Like, you know, Brenda Warner kind of reminds me of that. Like, Brenda Warner has called into a couple radio shows because they've been talking to us about Kurt Warner. And or Kurt Warner wasn't starting, and they're like, he's old, he's got to hang it up and all this stuff. She's like, no, he wants a trade. He's going to get out of the city because they don't want him to play. Like, stuff like that is like, okay, you probably shouldn't have done that, but it's not that big a deal. But when you're openly tweeting horrific stuff like that, you're becoming part of, you know, Hard Knocks because of the stuff that you do around your house. It's just not okay.
And sometimes you have kind of a matriarch that isn't like the worst on the planet. Like Steph Curry's wife. She's fine. You know, I think she's a little bit of a boss.
She tweeted some stupid stuff.
I think she's fine.
The game being rigged and all that stuff. And then she got her own. Doesn't she have like a cooking show?
Yeah, she's totally fine. I think she's fine.
Like, if you call her annoying, I'm like, all right. But she's not
annoying.
She's not Miko Grimes.
No, there's a couple that are the worst. Miko Grimes is at the absolute number one. Then we'll go Krista Glover. But let's see. Anna Benson, which you put on this list, I think is fascinating because she's the one that threatened to sleep with the entire Mets team if
Chris Benson cheating.
Yeah, like he was asleep with – I mean, and she was a whole thing. Anna Benson was a whole
thing.
She's
super hot. Was that on Howard Stern that she said that? I remember it was like a big radio show. I don't remember if it was Stern or not, but I remember her being on something and talking about how she would sex with the entire team.
I'm looking at a picture of her, and this picture is an arrest picture, and she looks like the chick that sent 65,000 text messages.
I think most women, most women look like that when they've been picked up by the cops, right? They look like that crazy wide-eyed nut job that got picked up here in Arizona that I'm definitely going to write a letter to for our secret show.
Oh, did you see this, by the way? In 2013, this is why she got arrested. She allegedly showed up at estranged husband Chris Benson's place with a bulletproof vest and a gun while demanding a hefty amount of money.
Oh, my God.
She demanded $30,000. I'm going to click on this article, Fox Sports. According to police report, Benson, a former stripper who achieves fame after marrying Benson, showed up at an apartment clad in all black, wielding a knife and a baton, and sat on a back porch smoking cigarettes while the cops were en route. Police recovered a black hatchet, black taser, ammunition, a bag of syringes, and 8 disclosed pills. Jesus Christ. According to the report, Anna demanded $30,000. Chris Benson told her he needed to get his wallet, then bolted for the basement and called police. That's not a great look.
Well, I mean, the crazy lady had a bunch of syringes and stuff.
Well, that's a good, it's a good point. Look, telling they received a call. She said he's a bleeping.
This broad was trying This broad was trying to Dexter him.
Yeah,
she was gonna Dexter him. She was gonna shoot him full of whatever those pills are, and then chop him up with that hatchet.
She tried to explain the bulletproof she was wearing was because it was a new model she was testing for a company, and it was to get the mold of her body.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. It's not a great look. So Anna Benson, is she worse?
You know what? I wish she would have just beat up his mom. That would have been much better.
Is she worse than Krista Glover?
God. Yeah.
Yeah. She's 100%.
She showed up to murder him.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was kind of after the fact. I guess, I mean, if you want to look at while...
Dude, she was going to kill him.
Yeah, no, that's a bad one.
Syringes and pills and hatchets and bulletproof vests and guns.
Where is she now?
Come on, man.
Where is Anna Benson now? Is she hanging out with Krista Benson?
Dead. Probably like Sharon Stone in the casino.
I just typed in, where is Anna Benson now?
Probably on Instagram. You know.
She was on Baseball Wives. It says, Baseball Wives star Anna Benson, Jail Saved Me. So why was she on Baseball Star? Like, she's not even with. I mean, I guess because she was just like a crazy
she probably chasing ball players, man. She's
all right, who else? Who are else?
Chuck Finley's wife, Tawny Catane. I remember reading this.
I don't remember this
story a long, long time ago, and she. It's one of those first stories where you hear about like a dude. A pitcher getting attacked or a player getting attacked and not fighting back and calling the cops on their wife. She like took off her heels and was trying to hit him in the eyeballs. And like she was trying to F him up with those heels. And she,
you know,
like,
the more that you use the S's and the F's, it kind of takes away from the allure, the amount that you've used. I'm going to count the
well,
the
it's,
S's,
it's,
the D's, and the F's.
It's,
the
single it's not
letters.
Cursing, so yeah, whatever. You can add up 1,000 of them. Still doesn't count until I eventually slip and owe you $100. But, Ned, Chuck Finley's wife, crazy, crazy woman. She went after him with shoes. How about Jason Kidd's wife, too?
I don't remember what that was.
Well, this was local. Like, he got arrested because he punched a wall when they got into some big fight. I remember that. And everybody's like,
for punching a wall?
Well, it's assault, because assault is when you intimidate someone. Battery is when you hit them.
Oh.
So if you do that Albert Pujols thing where you stand over somebody, that's assault.
Yeah, to Will Carroll.
Because you're intimidating. Battery is when you actually physically hit them. That's why they're arrested for assault.
So what did she do?
Well, she would pick these fights with him all the time. She would punch him. I remember he showed up to a game one time with a big black eye, and she would punch him and hit him. And when they were like in there, you know, trying to get divorced, she had her kids sneak into the locker room to go through his stuff to try to find, you know, a girl's phone number on his phone or text
Yikes.
Messages or something crazy. Like, she went badass.
I remember Dwayne Wade's ex-wife was – there was a whole thing. Gabrielle Union had to step in. You know, you actually want to know – to spin it, because, I mean, what a horrible segment now I'm thinking about it. We're only talking about the wives. You want to know who's a total jerk?
Who's that?
Oh, God, I just forgot. Jim Edmonds.
Jim Edmonds is a jerk?
Yeah, really? Dude. So my wife watches the Real Housewives, and so, you know, I inherently have to see some of it. And his wife, very hot, is like on I don't know, Real Housewives of Los Angeles or something. She's on one of them. And he's on there. And I remember my wife coming to me and being like, who is Jim Edmonds? I'm like, oh, he's like, you know, one of the all-time best center field defenders and blah, blah. She's like, he's the worst. And I was like, nah, you're probably making a whole. And then I'd be in there and watching a little bit. And I'm like, man, he's the worst.
What is he like mean to her? What
he is so mean. He treats her like a child. Like it is like, I don't know if he plays it up to be a bad guy on camera. He is not a pleasant person.
Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to play it up to be a bad person?
I have no idea. And it just all sparked with all of this stuff. And it even goes back as far as, I know you wrote this on here, Lisa Left Eye Lopez, when she burned down Andre Rison's house back in the 90s or whatever it was.
God, yeah. There's just been, and it's, look, the dudes have been way, way worse than the
Wives. I mean, Brett Myers is one of the worst, dragging, you know, his whatever girlfriend, wife down the street. I mean, Ray Rice. It's just sport. I mean, sports is a microcosm, I suppose, of society. But the stories we get out of it, maybe I just don't pay enough attention to some Florida newspapers to see this on a regular basis. But like, I see this lady calling her husband a loser when he plays bad at this, you know, at a professional sport, and then attacking his mom. Like,
God. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't get in the middle of that. Maybe you just have a really trashy mom who picks fights and stuff. But I, you know, it really wouldn't matter if you're my wife or whatever if you went after my mom. I'm sorry. That's, you know, that's the one person you don't go after. I don't care who you are.
I wish I saw the or I wish we could find the audio for the police call that he had, because if he's all calm and he's like, yeah, they're all
crazy broads.
Yeah, he's like, well, she's a crazy one, you know.
They're doing it again.
She likes to call me a loser.
I mean, this is, you know what, to go back to the John Cena thing, where it's kind of like, isn't it great that, you know, well, not great, you know, because I feel bad for John Cena, but isn't it nice to know that a superstar millionaire can be so upset about a chick? And these dudes are the same way. Like, you know why they marry these girls.
You're just feeling better about yourself. You're like, look at all these miserable people. This is great. This is great.
You know why they marry these chicks, and it's not because of their great attitude. So,
yeah, I don't know, but I don't know. This is a brutal situation. Crystal Glover, not a pleasant person. We'll be back. We got NBA draft lottery talk. It is in. We know what the order looks like, so we're going to talk about some of the prospects and their fantasy value. Don't go anywhere.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Get it! Welcome back. In this league, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Remember Tara Reid? Speaking of the dude.
Yeah. If I had that money, I definitely would have paid it to Tara Reid at that point.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. She was she was putting herself out there. I know the dude. She was the one. She was trying to get the money. She's blackmailing her own kidnapping. Wasn't that right?
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen that movie.
That was those are the heyday of Tara Reid. When it was enjoyable.
Well, that was before the whole nip slip thing, and you know where it was clear her looked like a pepperoni.
Oh, that's God damn it! I was just like, I was trying to move past it because I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to, and I was just like, can we just not do that after that whole segment we just did? Can we not say the word pepperoni?
Well, yeah. And by the way, we're in the break, and the Welsh is like, oh, man, we just railed on women for like, you know, 17 minutes, whatever. I'm like, well, we railed on the crazy ones. Like, you know, not every player's wife is out there trying to murder. Anna Benson was trying to murder Chris Benson. So she's a psycho. You know, I'm sorry. She's a psycho girl. You know, there's no other two ways about it. And at the end, we also said, look, the dudes are way, way worse than the women. These are like, we had like 10 cases of crazy women for, you know, 5,000 professional athletes. You know what I mean? So it's not like every single person's wife is like this. Almost every single person's wife that you meet or you see on Hard Knocks or you meet in person, you know, you've met players' wives before when you meet the players at all kinds of events and stuff. I've met them before at some events too, and they're always just like the nicest people in the world.
You want to know?
I met Brenda Warner. She could not have been a nicer human being. Yeah. She's the nicest person in the
super
world.
Super short too, by the way.
Well, I mean, I didn't notice, but sure.
Yeah, like wildly short. It reminded me of this thing back in the, like, I don't know, it was 1999 or something like that, when I worked at a Circuit City. I remember I worked in this like CD section, and there was this like this woman that was there. She's dressed up kind of rocky, and she was like really excited about something. I don't remember what I was helping her with. By the way, at that store, I was like, it was always helping celebrities. Apparently, came in. I remember Charles Barkley asking me about the Snoop. Remember the movie Bones? It was Snoop Dogg. He was asking me, he's like, "How's this soundtrack?" And I was like, "If you like Snoop Dogg, it's good." But this woman's asking me about Bruce Springsteen. And she's asking me, you know, like, do you have any Bruce Springsteen? I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, da, da. And she's like, do you listen? I'm like, not really. And then it was kind of like annoying. And then she kept going on about it. And finally I was like, and this is the time of like Napster and LimeWire and stuff. And I was like, honestly, if I wanted to hear it, I'd just download it. And she got like really like weird about it. I find out she was the wife of like the bassist or guitar player or something like that for Bruce Springsteen, and they were in there, and I was like, well, this is a problem. Like, I mean illegal downloading hadn't quite become the thing that it was, but I was like,
the Jiffy Cornbread story from Stephon Marbury. Sure. When I worked at the gas station, or at the gas station, at the the grocery store, and his wife was there like unloading all the groceries in my line. I'm like, that's Stephon Marbury, right? And she like kind of got weird. I'm like, I'm not going to like announce it over the intercom or anything. I was just wondering because it looks a lot like him in, you know, New Jersey plates when I was pushing in the cart. She's like, yeah, it's Stephon Marbury. Yeah. I'm like, okay. And she was very, very nice. Yeah, so, you know, she did get a little weird because she thought I was going to like fanboy out or something. I'm like, I don't care.
Like me with Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, yeah. We've been in the room together when we met someone. I'm like, man, whatever. That's fine. Yeah. So I prefer not to meet him. But,
yeah, no, you know, I know you do. So the NBA draft lottery has been set earlier in the week. That thing happened as the playoffs are still going on, which I think is kind of weird. It was actually one of the worst. Like it's a travesty what they're doing.
I didn't watch
it. It's embarrassing.
I didn't watch it. I was working, so didn't get to see it.
Really embarrassing how they did the whole process, the setup, like interviewing all the idiots that they brought there. And then they do like the, you know, the, sorry, man, you're making me laugh.
He's just so angry. Why are you so
angry? Like, I don't need to hear from, Larry Drysdorf or whatever it is with the Bulls. Like, I don't need to hear from him. I don't need to hear from De'Aaron Fox. I don't care about any of that stupid crap. They went through Dan Gilbert's son through the years of him being a little kid and then him being a version of an adult that's up there now. And it was just like, this is like, no one cares about any of this. Just give us the stupid order. So they start up and they go 13 and they give us 13 through like 9 and then they go to commercial break. And I was like, give me a break. And then they go like 8 to 4 and they go to another commercial break and then they come back. Whatever. It's a joke. The order set up incredibly, the Suns, who had the highest opportunity to get it, but two people got bumped out and the Suns did not. The Suns were able to keep the first overall pick. The Kings got 2, Hawks 3, Grizzlies 4, followed by the Mavericks who took a big hit going 5, the Magic 6, Bulls 7, the Cavaliers via the Nets, that's a big thing for them, got 8, the Knicks are 9, and the 76ers via the Lakers got 10. So we can kind of focus there here. And let's talk about this first overall pick because the Suns are in a very weird situation. It's great that they have the first overall pick.
But before we get there, quick, do you think now that the Cavs know that they're 8, that they should have traded that pick for some more firepower for this playoff run. Especially, I mean, I know hindsight's 20/20. They're down 2-0 to the Celtics right now and all that stuff.
Well, what could they have got?
I mean, they could have got something for that pick. It was a lottery pick. And that's for bad.
I think it's just too difficult to answer that. It's too much of a hindsight. Like, you got to tell me, what was the thing that they could have got for that pick that they passed up on, that someone risked? Jordan Clarkson, who they have? Like,
No.
I don't need Jordan Clarkson. But if it could have been, you know, them getting a rental, like an Aaron Gordon or something like that, or, you know, a rental of a big man, you know, Hassan Whiteside. I mean, I think that's a completely different conversation. But no, you know, I don't think so, because here's the deal. I think there's a very decent probability that Cleveland is going to be dealing with a rebuild this offseason, because when the Cavs don't move on and don't beat the Celtics, you're going to be in a situation where LeBron's not going to stay. He's going to be gone. He's going to go play with a bunch of other, three other idiots that are going to take less money, and he can, you know, be the captain, the superstar team. No way he comes back to play in Cleveland. Yeah, maybe L.A. There's no way that he's going to. He probably does. Him and Paul George will go play with, I guess he's not going to go back and play with Isaiah Thomas, because he knows that LeBron will trade him again. I mean, there's a chance, because LeBron gets to play head coach on this team and laughably have a puppet of a head coach in Tyronn Lue. But if they are in that rebuild mode, having that 8 pick gives them an opportunity to get an impact player. It really does.
Yeah, it does. But I think that if they could have added somebody who was worth it, it's just one of those things. Like, this is the problem with the lottery is, you know, you stick with that chance of maybe being able to get something good, but you don't really know. You know, I mean, this pick could have been 3, could have been 2. So, but you just never know. Now that you know it's 8, what's their best shot? They get maybe Mo Bamba, somebody like that.
I think guys, Trae Young, Michael Porter, I love Michael Porter Jr., Trae Young and Mo Bamba, they've got an opportunity to get one of those guys. And I think that's a big impactful player. Mo Bamba has a 7'10" wingspan, which is 2 inches more than Rudy Gobert.
Right. It's the longest in the NBA since Manute Bol.
That is wild. So let's talk about that first pick real quick, because the Suns are in this weird situation where you have got two clear-cut players that have ties to Phoenix. One is Igor Kokoskov. He was the head coach of Luka Doncic. And I think, did you tell me this, that Igor named his son after Luka?
Yeah, well, our guy Rasball Craig, he put that up in our ITL basketball room on GroupMe. So he said that he named his son after Luka Doncic. So there is a gigantic tie there.
That's a thing. But then you've also got you've got Ayton, who played for U of A. And the Suns have a huge need at big man. They've had it for years and years and years. Now there's this whole Doncic, you know, saying he's not 100% committed if he's coming over. I think it's more of a respect thing, because he's still currently playing. He'll come over. If Igor is like, dude, we're taking you one, he's coming over. So they're in this situation here. What do you think the position is? Because there are rumors the Suns are going to offer Clint Capella a max contract, and that would definitely make sense from a team construction standpoint, that they could bring in Luka. That'd be a huge win for the Suns. I think they could still bring Ayton on if they got Clint Capella. But from a fantasy perspective and looking at both of these, does it matter? I mean, they're both going to be studs if they're in Phoenix, but what do you like at one?
I think that in the most case, you have to go with the big man. You know what I mean? You got to go and take DeAndre Ayton, because 7-footers like him, they just don't come around all that often, you know. So I know that he still has some development to go, but look, you know, the best 15 players in this draft, or, you know, 10 of the first 12 or whatever, are either, you know, freshmen or how old is Luka Doncic? So he's 11 years
19.
Old, I believe.
No, he's 19.
So, right. So, you know, he's a freshman age. So they're all young players. All these guys are still developing. That is part of the deal that happens with the NBA. I mean, you know, Clint Capella played in the G League for a long time. So, you know, a lot of these guys have to develop, even the guys that are picked high. Now, they don't go down to the G League to develop most of the time. They develop in the NBA. Some of them are good. But, I mean, Buddy Hield was a giant pick a couple years ago, and everybody was comparing him to Steph Curry. And, you know, how good is Buddy Hield? Like, he can develop into something. Steph Curry took a while to get to an upper echelon, otherworldly player, right? But I think that with a guy like DeAndre Ayton is the guy that you have to take. Now, if they do go get Clint Capella, which I don't want because I'm a Rockets fan, but if they do go out and get Clint Capella, then you have a case where you could take Luka Doncic, and I think it makes some sense. But I think Ayton, for the most part, I would say 75% to 25% Ayton versus Doncic at this point, if I'm a gambling man, and I can because it's legal now.
Apparently. Yeah, I'm on Ayton here. I think there's a lot of writing on the wall for Doncic, and you know, I think they could find the way to do it. Like you said, if Capella signs, I think it makes a lot of sense. But at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, I think, you know, Ayton could be he could be next level. He could change this organization. You know, think of what some big men have done. Think of like what DeMarcus Cousins, you know, was able right. to do for the Kings for that period of time, and put Devin Booker on there. They've got Elfrid Payton. But the Suns also have the 16th overall pick. And there are some other point guards. There's this guy, Lonnie Walker, the fourth. Hopefully he has the fourth on there, who could potentially maybe play some point. Yeah, I think he's a shooting guard out of Miami. Aaron Holiday, who is Drew's brother. You know, there are a couple like of those mid Anthony Simmons. There's some of these mid, you know, point guards that they could go after. Or, you know, potentially the Suns could do another thing, and they could, if they brought on Ayton, they could maybe go and trade Alex Lynn, or they could trade a Marquise Chris, and they could move back up. Maybe they could get a Colin Sexton, you know, because I think it's right. The Clippers have 12 and 13. So they could maybe trade up a couple spots, and they could get their future point guard to pair with Ayton. So either way, from a fantasy perspective in dynasties and stuff, both of these guys, Doncic and Ayton, are going to be, you know, one and two in any rookie dynasty draft. But I would say for this season only, if you're only thinking about it from redraft, it's Ayton for me. Ayton, if Ayton goes to the Suns, he is a huge relevant pick, I think, a little bit more than Doncic is.
That's in funny redraft. Because I think it's Doncic.
In redraft?
Yeah, in redraft, because I think point guards can come in and or, you know, distributors. I don't know what position he'll play in the NBA. But I think a guy like that can come in and immediately get assists for you and put up numbers while Ayton is kind of developing an offensive game, because that's like the big knock on him is he's kind of lost on offense, right? Like the defense is already, you know, pro ready. Isn't that right?
He can already shoot. I think he is an offensive presence. I think the mold of like a DeMarcus Cousins is a fair way to look at it. See, I just think there's more of an adjustment period with a guy like Luka Doncic. Though, to your point, to kind of hone in there, from a fantasy perspective, I could see Luka Doncic having a Ricky Rubio type of an impact where, you know, he scores a handful of points, lots of rebounds. He's a big 6'8" guy, and he's going to be a ball distributor to a player like Devin Booker. So I could see him being a triple-double type of option if he's out there. It's just DeAndre Ayton, and we can, when we come back from break, I'm going to go over the first 10 picks, and I've got a mock draft up from the Sporting News, which is only a couple days old, and they did it, you know, post lottery, so you can see where all the guys are going. But the first two picks, regardless of anywhere, it's Ayton and Doncic. So if we're talking about Doncic going one or Ayton going one, you then have Doncic with the Kings. And for some reason to me, I feel like the Kings would screw that up. I don't know why. I just don't feel like there's a good spot. I mean, what does that do? Buddy Hield's your shooting guard. You've got Doncic at point. Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't know. I'm not sure I like that.
They really like missed out on getting Doncic to replace DeMarcus Cousins. Ayton to replace DeMarcus Cousins. So I think that would have been huge for the Kangs.
But it could still happen, though. If the Suns take Doncic, then Ayton just falls into the lap of the Kings, and that is that replacement. Like you said, that's the DeMarcus Cousins replacement, and I don't know what it does for them at the end of the day. I do think that would be still as impactful of a fantasy impact in Sacramento for DeAndre Ayton as it would in Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're probably right. I just, I don't know how this is gonna pan out. You know, it's weird because last year, everybody, and I'm like every single person, was all Markel Fultz. Markel Fultz had a terrible season. He was injury ridden. He couldn't shoot a free throw to save his life. Like, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on with him. And Jason Tatum, who wound up going, didn't Tatum go 3 overall last year? 2 or 3, wherever he went. He wound up being like, you know, one of the best rookies, you know, besides Donovan Mitchell. I mean, how late did Donovan Mitchell go? And Donovan Mitchell was a gigantic impact in season one.
Well, to your point, I would say that there's a lot of impact. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this mock draft and talk about a few of these players, because I look at the top 10. I mean, you can stretch it out a little bit, you know, into the 12, 13. I think there are, similar to last year, where we saw a lot of impact from rookies, though maybe a little bit of the top end was disappointing. I see there being a decent amount of impact fantasy-wise from a lot of these players. And I think they're just like how Tatum, you know, kind of came on the scene big to surprise some of us. I think there are some players in here that could surprise in their fantasy value, and some of the positions are going to be really, really good for them. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk about that SportingNews.com mock draft that's already got the lottery laid out. We've talked about Eitan. We've talked about Doncic. We'll tell you where this mock draft has them, and then we'll go through the top 10 and maybe a couple other unique players that you need to know about. But don't go anywhere. Coming up, the final segment of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's Bogman. You can follow him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Me, I'm the Welsh. You can follow me on Twitter at Is It The Welsh. And we're right back.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You're damn right they do. Welcome back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Boy, we've talked about the endless love between matriarch and women in the... just going at their husbands as
this is John Cena's song for Nikki Bella.
Yeah, John Cena. We talked about John Cena. We talked about
our Lucas, song for Chris Pavona.
Lucas Glover's wife, who has no respect for him. We talked about some football. We got some baseball. We talked about gambling. But right now we're talking about the NBA draft lottery. So we are giving a lot of attention to Luka Doncic and DeAndre Ayton because those are the big dogs here. But I got a mock draft from Sporting News. And those two players, we were kind of going back and forth. We both kind of think the Suns are going to lean DeAndre Ayton, regardless of the huge connection with coach Igor Kokoskov with Doncic, because he coached him.
Do you remember when Igor Kokoskov texted Barry and told him to hang in there because the bullet's on its way from DHL? And you remember that?
Oh, yeah. He is my favorite character in Barry, by the way. Bogner ruined my night. We were recording our baseball show, and we talked about Barry, and I've been meaning to watch it because I love Bill Hader. And when we got done recording the podcast, I literally watched 7 episodes of Barry, and I was up till 2 in the morning.
Well, they're like those 25, 30-minute guys anyway,
aren't they?
Yeah,
but I watched like 7 of them. I couldn't stop. And I was up to 2 in the morning, and I'm going to finish them tonight. And there's a Russian character in there. He's as good as calling him Igor Kokoskov. He is one of the best characters on television right now.
Buddy. Where are you going, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Buddy.
Don't laugh, man. They're going to kill me, buddy.
Do you want sparkling water or maybe submarine sandwich? What do you want?
Is so good. But there's a major connection with Suns head coach Igor Kokoskov with Doncic. So in this mock draft from Sporting News, the first overall pick, Luka Doncic. They have him. Real Madrid. They decide Luka Doncic goes to the Phoenix Suns, which enables the Kings to get DeAndre Ayton. And I think that, I mean, that's, there's not a more perfect scenario for
Kings,
the Sacramento
couldn't,
Kings.
Couldn't even screw that one up, right?
No. I mean, unless they took, you know, like Trae Young. Trae Young and Buddy Hield, that would be.
Yeah, oh, that'd be, that it just like, it'd be too much.
Yeah.
Like, the Kings would have to move to Vegas or something. There's just no way.
Soon enough. Number three, the Hawks. And this is my guy. I really like this guy. This mock draft, and I think, you know, as much as we say Ayton and Doncic are a tier of their own, I believe this next guy is kind of in his own tier, though some might argue the guy going four belongs in there too, but Marvin Bagley the third. I love Marvin Bagley out of Duke, and that's who this mock has going number three overall to the Hawks, which would be a fantastic spot. Now, there's some interesting stuff going on. I don't know if you saw that Dennis Schroeder like deleted any memory of him being a Hawk. He deleted everything from his Instagram that he was a Hawk, so it looks like he gone.
Is that the biggest like crybaby move? Like, I guess, just who pays attention to their social media that much to?
I think people want attention. It's the attention.
Burn that bridge. I guess it must be. I just, you know,
showed up at the Atlanta facility with a bulletproof vest on and pills and a taser. So guys, just modeling
it. Dun, 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 dun.
But this is full
Schroeder.
Rebuild. The Hawks are in full rebuild. Marvin Bagley is going to walk into a situation of being one of the top options. I think there could be an argument that from a production standpoint, he might be one of the more productive rookies.
Absolutely. If that happens, he would definitely be super productive. I mean, they have John Collins and, you know,
Oh, man, John Collins and Bagley back-to-back. Whew.
Like that.
Love
right.
that as your 4 and 5. Love that. So Marvin Bagley would be a big win here. Number four, the Grizzlies they have taking, and I think this is a very standard top four, by the way, right now. Jaren Jackson Jr. out of Michigan State, who is a power forward center. If they, you know, you got Marc Gasol, so they could just play Jaren Jackson and Marc Gasol back to back. But Jackson is so interesting because his kind of overall game. He's a big dude, but he can hit threes. He's a perimeter guy. And our guy, Jonas Nader from Roto World, we had done our last basketball episode. He kind of said that he thought Jaren Jackson might be one of the more fantasy relevant players from this draft. Like, he could be number one in fantasy from this because of his overall versatile skills.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a little difficult in Memphis, you know, fitting in with Marc Gasol, who, I mean, Marc Gasol is still in Memphis. So, but, you know, those guys can still be productive. So we'll see. I mean, right now, who they have Marc Gasol and Jamichael Green is still in there. I'm trying to look for other forwards. They have Deontay Davis, who they like. So, I mean, the dude has tons of upside. What they could really use a guard. I just don't think that there, unless Doncic falls for whatever reason, there's just not a guard to be had right there because they have Mike Conley still. But outside of that, they have injury-prone Tyreek Evans and Andrew Harrison, who's kind of worthless.
I think it's just a lock, so, man.
Yeah, you're just taking the best player when you're picking that.
And guy, I believe so. The four right there, that is a lock. You get to 5 and 6, and that's where some stuff starts changing. This has Mavericks have the fifth pick. They got screwed a little bit. The mock has them taking Mohamed Bamba,
center Bamba
out of Texas, 6'11", 225 with a 7 foot. This says 9, but I saw it was 7'10" wingspan. He averaged almost 5 blocks per 40 minutes as a freshman. Huge center. The Mavericks have whiffed. You know, with Nerlens Noel didn't work out. Dirk is on his way out. They couldn't get DeAndre Jordan to get there, so they would get their big man, and there's a lot of Rudy Gobert type of comparisons that are sitting out there, but he's raw as hell. But pairing him with Dennis Smith, that would put Dallas in a nice little future.
Might have a little Lob City action going there, like Clint Capella, you know?
I think if we got some type of a promise that we could get like 24 plus minutes, 25-26 from Mobamba, there's going to be some serious fantasy relevance because you're always...
It'd be like Whiteside. He's gonna get boards, and he's going to get blocks, 100%.
You might be drafting him in the 60-70 mark because you're always looking for extreme blocks. If he's getting 25 to 28 minutes a game, the guy might be blocking 2.5. And if he has any type of an offensive output, you know, maybe you get 9 points, 8 rebounds, and 2.5 blocks, 100% relevant in fantasy.
Well, the problem here, though, with a young guy and the Mavericks is that Rick Carlisle doesn't like to play the young guys.
Great
I mean,
point.
Nerlens Noel has been in his doghouse forever.
God, he
you know
hates
what I mean?
Nerlens
Dennis
Noel.
Smith is by far his favorite young player he's ever had. So, you know, I do think that you're right. Like, now you have a nice core when you get – if Nerlens Noel can get rolling there or get off this team, whatever, you would have Dirk, Mo Bamba, Harrison Barnes, Dennis Smith, and whoever playing shooting guard. I mean, they have Aaron Harrison right now, but whoever – Seth Curry, you know, J.J. Barea, who Wes Matthews they still have. I forgot about Wes Matthews. So that's a decent starting lineup. I don't know if it's playoff worthy. Probably not. But you're growing. You have your two big parts in Dennis Smith and Mo Bamba, and you can add a little bit more. So I like that.
I think that's that could very well be the lock of the top five. The one I do think that Mo Bamba could move down just a notch, and a guy like Michael Porter Jr. could move in. But let's call that a lock at number five. Number six, the Magic. This has them taking Trae Young, point guard out of Oklahoma, who, you know, some have called him kind of a version of a Steph Curry. He's got a little bit of a weird shot, but he'll shoot it from 40 feet and hit it. He's a gamer. I think there's a lot of risk there. He's not a big defensive player, but he's a huge offensive force. And, you know, they moved Elfrid Payton. I think this would make a lot of sense, and he would run probably right into a starting role.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not, because they still have Fournier. And they have,
well, he's a shooting. He's a small forward, though.
Yeah, I mean, they have Jonathan Simmons, who they like, you know,
also
Aaron Gordon,
guard.
Aaron Gordon, power forward. So
yeah,
they have Aaron Gordon power forward. He's more of a small forward though. So I don't know. Like I like this pick for them because they're going to need, you know, a guard at some point here, but, I don't know about Trae Young. I think that Trae Young to me just he reminds me so much of Buddy Hield, because Buddy Hield did the same stuff coming out of Oklahoma, and I mean I even got swindled by it, and I'm not an Oklahoma guy, but Buddy Hield was my guy coming out because it's, you know, he got all those Steph Curry comparisons. I just don't think it's fair to put that comparison on any of these guys.
Number seven, the Bulls. It's really interesting to see how dominant the big men are in this draft. The Bulls. This has them taking Wendell Carter Jr. A lot of juniors here. Center out of Duke, 6'10", 259. I guess I could see it. I'm just not sure I don't know if that's the pick, though. They just picked up Lauri Markkanen. I mean, do they see, you know, Markkanen is going to be their four and Wendell Carter, you know, just jumps in to be a true five and that's how they want to approach
so.
It? I mean, I guess I could see that then.
Yeah, because Markkanen, you know, he's more of a perimeter shooter. He shoots a lot of threes. They still have Rolo. So I don't know what they're going to do with Rolo. And this backcourt is you just see the injury-prone guys that they have. Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine both ended the season on the injured list. Denzel Valentine, also the same thing. So they're starting Justin Holiday and Cameron Payne. And they have Lopez and Markkanen and Bobby Portis and Noah Vonleh. So they have a lot in that front court. But like we said, I think when you're picking in the top 10, you're really just picking the best player. And, you know, in the NBA, more than any other sport, the ridiculous amount of trades that'll happen during the draft and post-draft is insanity. So you're just taking the best player. And even if you're not intending to have him on your team, you can trade him for other parts you need, or you can flip, you know, your current depth for other parts you need. So you're just taking the best player.
I think I don't agree with this pick. And I would say, I think Michael Porter would definitely fit a role here if they wanted to have a big 3-4 in Markkanen and Porter. I think another guy that is a very decent option is you could get one of the Bridges. Maybe Mikal is going to be more likely from Villanova, or a Miles Bridges. I think Carter could maybe just fall just a tad bit, as I already think maybe Michael Porter is a player that could bump up. And maybe a more likely scenario in my brain is the top five is there. At six, you've got Michael Porter Jr. going to the Magic, something like that, because there's rumors of them moving on from Aaron Gordon. And then at seven, I'll just call it Mikal Bridges. And then at eight, you'd have the Cavs taking a player like Trae Young, which they could slide in there, which, you know, might potentially make some sense. But in this mock, the Cavs are taking Michael Porter Jr., which I think would be a killer pick, coming off of injury. He says he's healthy. He can be a big time scorer. I think he's
anything to keep Tristan Thompson off the court, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a small forward. I think he's a bigger small forward that could be a power forward. But I think this is a guy that, like, he can make a difference.
Play power forward because LeBron plays small forward.
Well, LeBron plays like a power forward point guard. Like
point
I think
forward, right?
Yeah, and he'll be gone anyway, so it doesn't matter. So that'll be their replacement if that were to go there. I think Michael Porter, big dynasty option for me. The other two picks here, the Knicks at 9, they have taking Miles Bridges out of Michigan State. That'd be 2 Michigan State players taken in the top 10. He came back last year. He would be a pretty good pick for them. And then Mikal Bridges going to the 76ers in this mock draft. And as they call it, it's a dream scenario for Philadelphia, you know, for kind of fitting a need, because it wouldn't be a great spot if Wendell Carter was the pick here for Philly, because that really doesn't fit the need. They could
11
use
big men they would have. It's just
ridiculous. I mean, they need more of the Miles Bridges, maybe the Mikal Bridges. Those make
Philly
probably
doesn't need much.
Yeah, they really don't. Maybe, I mean, yeah, they just, Wendell Carter wouldn't make a lot of sense. So at the top 10, like, where is your biggest fantasy value for this year? Who are the players that you like? Are there any surprises?
I think, like you mentioned, I'm going to go full homer here. I just think that Mo Bamba, regardless of where he lands, you know, him and Ayton, those dudes are going to get blocks. And blocks are the hardest stat to come by in fantasy. So these are guys you're going to want, especially if Mo Bamba winds up somewhere where he's needed and he can play, like you said, 20 to 24 minutes a game. He might be bad at the line. He may not score you a bunch of points. But, you know, I think he's going to be a decent value. I think Doncic could provide immediate impact. And just depending on how these teams want to use these guys, you know what I mean? Like the Hawks with Marvin Bagley, like you said, the Hawks need help all over the court. So whoever they take is probably going to get a bunch of playing time. You know, I think any of these players can have a ton of upside for this season. But I think if I had to pick one right now, I would go for the most obscure stat, and that is Mo Bamba giving you blocks somewhere.
I can dig that. Like I said, I think these 10 are all going to have, even if 9, I don't know why I'm just not as much on Wendell Carter, but I think a lot of these guys are going to have some
boring name. His name's Wendell.
Yeah, maybe that's it. There's going to be a lot of impact. Some other interesting ones in here. At 11, the Hornets took Colin Sexton, point guard out of Alabama. I think he changes a tier of point guards out there. 14, Robert Williams III, who did not come out last year. Yeah, Texas A&M, you hate him. Big power forward center type of guy. That's an interesting one. Lonnie Walker IV. Jesus, all the juniors and thirds and fourths. guard, they have the Wizards taking at 15. That's one to definitely be on the lookout for. Mitchell Robinson is a really interesting story, and I think this is the right person. I hope I'm not mistaking it if it isn't him. But there is this guy, and I'm pretty sure it's Mitchell Robinson, who he's not like working out for anybody, and he doesn't, I'm not even sure if he has an agent. Like, he's not doing anything for anybody, and it's like this really weird like spot that he's put himself in. Like, he's not going to camps. He's not doing anything. I don't understand it. I mentioned
he withdrew from the combine.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So he was going to do that, and now he's not.
Yeah, I don't understand. Aaron Holiday, who I mentioned, UCLA point guard, who's Drew Holiday's brother, they have going 23 to the Pacers. So it's building up to be an interesting draft, and there's probably going to be some names we're going to be more familiarized with. But the top 4, very strong. That's an early mock draft, and we may see some changes. Like I told before, how excited are you?
Like,
I'm kind of stoked about it as a Suns fan.
Yeah, because you're a Suns fan. You know, I mean, I don't have this problem because the Rockets are 7 wins away from a title. But, you know, you have been down in the dumps about basketball because the Suns have been just terrible.
And they're still
for
not
a while.
Be great. That's the problem. This doesn't.
But I
change.
Mean, they're developing though. Like, they, you know, having Booker and Jackson and Elfrid Payton and potentially DeAndre Ayton. That's a good young
squad.
If
they could do something like sign Capella, also get Ayton, and then maybe move up a tad bit and get, you know, like a Colin Sexton or something like that, it could be a game changer for them. So I think it's exciting. And I think there's a player or two that is going to change their overall perception. I think a guy like Michael Porter. I think Michael Porter could start to fight for a higher role, or, you know, Jaren Jackson might get the buzz of overpassing a Bagley. I think it'll be very, very interesting, but a lot of high-end impact. So you guys that play in Dynasty or Redraft for basketball, if you want more, go check out the In This League Fantasy Basketball podcast. We'll probably have an episode in the next couple of weeks with Jonas Nader, where we'll take a look at the draft. You've already got Summer League stuff that's going on, or not Summer League, but the Combine. Our guy James Anderson from RotoWire, he was already reporting on some of the Combine stuff. So, Bogman, that was a packed episode of information, and if people want to go back, they can listen on demand on the podcast over at Spotify or iTunes.
You can see me between 6 and 9 when I get out of my house to interact with people.
Yeah, or you can catch us. You can also catch us with Seeley this week, Tuesday and Thursday. Be on the lookout for it. You guys know what to do. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. This is In This League. Have a great weekend.